Welcome to EconoDay's Economists Roundtable. I am Chief Economist Dan Picker, and with me today are Jeremy Hawkins, he covers the UK and Europe, and Mark Pender, he covers the US. Jeremy, how about an update on Brexit?
Okay, well, good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, wherever you might be. 2 weeks on, then, from the Brexit vote, and the outlook for the UK economy, I suppose, is just about as clear as mud. We don't have a Prime Minister, although at least that should be sorted out by September the 9th. The two main Brexit proponents, former Mayor Boris Johnson and the head of UKIP Nigel Farage, have both quit. We can't actually be completely sure that the UK is going to leave the European Union in the first place, as the new Prime Minister, whoever that may be, it looks like it's either going to be Theresa May or Andrea Leadham. They will have to sign off on it first. That's something the rest of the EU can't do, so the ball is very much in the UK court at the moment. Now, on that note, I suppose it's worth mentioning that most people, I think, are assuming that as and when the UK does sign this notorious Article 50, which will set the ball rolling, that's going to be it. And at some point, we will be leaving the union. There's recently been talk, though, certainly from the French government legal services, that it may be possible for that trigger to actually be reversed anyway. So, as I was saying, really at this stage, where we go from here is pretty well anyone's response. In terms of the financial markets, well, we've had, I suppose, the sort of predictable responses. The pound's really been trashed. We're talking double-digit percentage losses against most of the safe haven currencies like the dollar, obviously the Swiss franc, and particularly the Japanese yen, which has had a very good run. Bond markets in general have seen a huge move into those, and the UK gilt market has outperformed substantially. There's been a rush to buy safe haven assets over here. And commodity markets, well, gold's well up and the likes of oil well down, as you'd expect, given the potential negative implications for what's going to happen to the global economy. I suppose, you know, where do we go from here? Well, as I mentioned, nothing's really going to happen until we get the Article 50 actually being triggered. Now, with regards to that, I suppose a focal point for the markets will be who's going to take the Prime Minister's position. As I mentioned, that should be decided before the start of the Conservative Party conference, and that begins in October. And the date for the announcement of the new Prime Minister is expected to be the 9th of September. Very much then a case of who is actually going to win this thing. The current favourite, at least as I speak anyway, is Theresa May. She was actually part of the Remain camp, but and has ruled out holding a second referendum on the issue. But I think for markets at least, she's probably seen as being the favoured one in terms of if we are going to have a chance of remaining within the European Union. And the other one is Andrea Leadham, who's the current energy minister, who is very strong exit the EU. It may come down to just minor differences, but potentially crucially, I think, is that Andrea Leadham has intimated that if she becomes Prime Minister, she's going to want to start Article 50 immediately. Theresa May has suggested she'll want to wait until at least next year before she does anything, partly to let the dust settle, but also perhaps because we've got French and German parliamentary elections in 2017, and they may want to see how those fathom before they actually decide to do anything, indeed decide perhaps ultimately which way they go. So net, I suppose, it's still a very clouded outlook here. It's not much point talking about European numbers currently because there's so much uncertainty surrounding Brexit. Until we start getting the July and the August figures coming in, we're not really going to know what the big impacts in terms of the economies are going to be. But certainly the general semblance over here, I think, is that the pound has further to fall. UK numbers are going to look pretty horrible. And indeed, there's a good deal of speculation that next week we'll see the Bank of England cutting interest rates by 25 basis points. If not next week, then probably quite shortly afterwards. And while the quick note on UK fiscal policy, the proposed surplus we're supposed to be having on the budget by 2020, the end of the current parliamentary term, that has now been suspended, and George Osborne really thrown in the towel on that one, and we're going to end up with some kind of a deficit.
Jeremy, I have a question.
Yep.
What are the first places where we can look for to see some confidence numbers, whether consumer confidence or business confidence. Where in the calendar, you were talking about until the July and August numbers start rolling in, but is there anything else, a week-to-week number that we can start getting a view?
Well, not really. I mean, there are sort of the occasional one-off type surveys which will appear in local newspapers that they tend to be very local. So they don't really give you much of an impression about what's happening in the in the national economy as a whole. It tends to be just too localized. So really it's going to be a case of waiting for the likes of, you know, the flash PMIs in particular, the European the Economic Sentiment Index out of the European Commission, which obviously includes the UK because it's part of the EU, see how the confidence numbers come in there. So really, it's probably going to be a case of we're having to wait a few weeks at least until we start to see, you know, the first obvious factors. The other thing I would mention, though, is next week when we get the Bank of England announcement, they may well come out with some comments to the effect what their local agents have found dotted around the economy. These agents supply information about regional activity to the bank's monetary policy committee, and they don't always mention it too much, but I suspect they may well give some indications next week, particularly if they do come out and cut interest rates. So that way may well be the first national indicator.
Are they still doing political polls?
I haven't seen one, I must say, since this blew up. Partly because no one knows what they're polling at the moment, because the Labour Party is pulling itself apart. We're still waiting for a possible voter confidence there. And of course, for the Tory Party, we're still waiting to see who the Prime Minister is going to be.
Well, without Boris Johnson, I mean, how, would the Leave campaign would have worked? Would it have passed?
Well, it's anyone's guess, to be honest. But personally speaking, I think Boris Johnson is such a charismatic figure that although he effectively got pushed out by his number two, had he not campaigned for Brexit, then chances are it wouldn't have gone through.
Moving on to the U.S., Mark, tomorrow's employment report appears to have an even more higher profile than the high profile the employment report normally has.
Yeah. Right, and that's because the prior month was so incredibly weak. May at 30,000, 38,000 on non-payroll gain. There was a noise in the 35,000 area related to the Verizon strike. But even so, that is an incredibly weak number. But all the indications are right now that will be an outlier. Jobless claims are coming down really convincingly. Other indicators like ADP this morning, and they have quite a huge count in their own, and it's very favorable. And other indications like the employment indexes of some of these anecdotal reports, including the ISM non-manufacturing report that was on Wednesday's calendar. So Friday, it looks to be a bounce back Friday. Now, if it isn't a bounce back Friday, then I think if May proves to be actually the first of a trend, then I think we'll have a pivotal shift and what our expectations will be from moving to the next rate hike, whenever that may be, to possibly looking squarely at a rate cut, especially with this uncertainty over Brexit. And really, for the U.S. side, it's the volatility in the markets is really a major uncertainty right now. But that said, the employment report does look like it's going to be back on track, which would be a gigantic relief for everyone. But other than that, it's wait and see from the U.S.
Okay, thanks, Mark. There's been virtually no data from Asia Pacific this week. However, on the political front, Australia held a national election last weekend, and Japan has one this coming weekend. The results of the Australian election indicate a political deadlock. Sounds familiar. Neither political party has a majority to form a government. The rating agencies have threatened to remove the country's AAA rating because the results are expected to hamper efforts to stem budget deficits. It is expected that the conservative Liberal National Coalition will limp back into office with a very thin majority. But Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has lost his significant majority in the lower house and will have to struggle with a Senate likely to be dominated by minority parties, weakening the ability of the major parties to push through any substantive changes. Japan holds an election on this Sunday for the upper house of parliament. Even though voters are not happy with Prime Minister Abe's efforts to revive the economy, he is expected to win another victory. At stake are 121 of the 142 seats in parliament's less powerful upper house. The coalition led by Mr. Abe's Liberal Democratic Party currently has a majority in the chamber and is expected to add to it, according to those opinion polls. The coalition also controls more than two-thirds of the lower house, which is enough for election as we speak. So far, Mr. Abe hasn't fulfilled his promise to revitalize the economy. Growth has been sporadic at best, and most Japanese say their lives haven't improved much because of Abenomics, but then again, they haven't gotten that much worse either.
And quick one for you. Sure. BOJ intervention. We're talking about, you know, one of the implications of Brexit has been this wholesale sell-off, obviously, of the pound, but we've seen the regional safe haven currencies outperforming, amongst which the yen has really been dominant. And I just wonder, as many signs of the BOJ thinking about intervening or actually intervening to try and stop the yen going up anymore?
Other than verbal, no. That they've, you know, threatened, et cetera, but no action has been taken. And the yen last checked is 101 plus to the dollar, which is almost parity.
Yeah.
What about the Bank of England supporting the pound?
Well, I mean, the thing about the B of E, of course, is it's not overly unhappy to see a weaker pound. They've been waiting for it for quite a long while. One of the big bugbears of the bank has been the burgeoning current account deficit over here, which is itself one reason why the pound's been sold off. We're dependent upon capital inflows to finance it. So really, the Bank of England has been making comments over the last couple of years that the pound's too strong. It's not competitive. So although they wouldn't actually come out and say it at the moment, given the state of sterling, they're probably quite pleased with what's going on.
Does the Bank of England control the currency, or is it Treasury? Checker, Exchequer.
Well, the Bank of England is charged with securing monetary financial stability. So they think it's appropriate to intervene.
Okay.
They can intervene.
But the newspapers, with the pound falling as much as it has, is this can be, too much volatility, too far, too fast. Is there anything like that in the papers over there?
Oh, that's certainly true. I mean, levels of volatility are something which quite clearly any central banker wouldn't want to see. So what I say, the Bank of England's happy to see a weaker pound. It likes to see it being brought about gradually. It won't want to see what we've had, best part of a 13% or so decline against the dollar since the Brexit vote. It won't want to put a straight line through that and see the pound heading towards parity over the course of the next week or so. It may not mind a slight lower drift, but it's probably, it's going to want to see a degree of stability before any further move, I think.
Thank you, guys.